Man podcast, opinionated debate on everything Borough. Let's have it.
Sell the box, Janino nearly there. Lavanelli, goal! Mark Schwartz, get in, you big hussy!
Bridwell Boston hasn't finished yet. Kick it!
And Borough have struck a stick to the heart of Dracula's boys, and it could be Eindhoven time!
I'm hoping Steve can see us and hear us.
Oh, I can hear you, and I can see you.
Oh, he's back.
Hello. Good evening. Welcome to the Talk My Podcast. What a great way to start our recording. Oh, well, never mind. At least I can talk now, anyway. Happy New Year. Happy New Year to you both.
Yeah. Jeez, Steve, can't see you very well, mate. You might want to move the camera.
That means I'm going to reach you, and I really don't want him. So, you can see your all beautiful faces, though, so, yeah, it's all good. Don't worry. Right, just make sure I press the right button. Yeah, there we go. I'll let our guest in. We'll introduce him just yet. But he has woke up very early for this. So welcome to our first 12-man podcast for 2024. That's scary, isn't it? 2024. Anyway, me, Steve Jackson, I'm in the main chair as usual. You can see me tonight. Well, they can't. You can. Hello. You've got me. You got me in the main chair. You got Mr. John Donovan. He's with me as usual. Evening, JD.
Now then, are you okay?
I am, mate. Are you?
Yes. Back at work today, so had to be really.
That's the spirit. And we've got Mr. Steve Dixon with us, evening, Dicko.
Good evening. Happy New Year to you all.
And you, my man.
I'm the opposite to JD. I've just taken a fortnight off because I've been working busy with the Royal Mail lately. So it's my turn to rest.
You've just made half the country feel sick. Saying that. And someone's just already commented saying, how long before the first fight? Not long, Stuart, not long. But before I do that, I will introduce our very, very special guest who's woke up very early to see us. Always a pleasure to speak to him from the other side of the world. He already knew we were going to get beat 3-1 by Coventry, but said nothing. Happy New Year, right? How are we doing?
Happy New Year, lads. It's good to be back. It's just good to be here. Thank you for having me on. 6 a.m. But it's good to have the proper Steve in my life once again. John as well. Steve, it's good to see you guys. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas to you all.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, cheers, and to you.
Yeah, we're past all that. Christmas is gone, mate. Don't worry about that now.
the one man that could make a 3-1 home defeat to Coventry sound interesting is Rye, so...
Yes.
Welcome, Ryan. Happy New Year, fella.
Thank you, mate. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah,
good to be here.
You could have warned us we were going to get beat 3-1. I mean, bloody hell. But never mind. It's all good. Yes, get in touch. We're on the socials. Get your comments in. We're on live on Facebook. Gentlemen, wave. All three of you, wave. There you go. Good puppet. Very good. So, yes, get in touch. We'll have a chat. One question I want to put out there to people. FA Cup, do we scrap it or do we go for it? That's all I'm going to say. I'll ask these three gentlemen a little while when we do our preview for Villa. I don't mind answering no. I was going to say on Saturday, but it was yesterday. Been it. But anyway, we'll do a quick Christmas review. We've got 5 games to talk about. We're going to cram it in a nice, compact 20 minutes. Then we'll talk about January, because we are in January now. We are in the transfer window. It has officially been open for, 43 hours. There you go. I did a really quick maths there. Yes, it's been open for 43 hours. We've signed normal.
Hold on. Them hours might be different for Rye.
It is.
That's true.
72 hours here. Come on, mate. Hey, 12th man's going worldwide now.
Yeah, no, I mean, where's our new signings? That's what I want to know. I mean, if you know something's going to happen, I want to know. So, but
I don't have any inside goss. The only thing I've got is that Riley McGree feels bad, but he obviously he wished everyone a new year, but he did. He just said to me, he said, "Mate, when the country comes calling, but what's the timing of it? Hey, Riley, Tammy, come on, boys.
Yeah, come on, boys. You know." Especially Riley, he's been sat down for 2 months and all of a sudden he gets up when Australia come clicking.
I know. Finally gets over the plantar fasciitis And then we get him back and we get him on the pitch. And you could see on the pitch when he came on, right, how much of a difference he makes, how much quality he's got, even for 20 minutes or so. And then we lose him at the worst time as well, literally with all the injuries we've got and such a thin squad. So I'm praying that there's some Januaries. I'm praying.
I know. So, I mean, I wish I'd screenshotted it, but someone put a 11 that we've got currently injured. It's better than our actual start 11. And it made me look at it and think, well, I hate 2024 already, so thank you very much. So that's why I'm not reading it. Never mind. It's fine. Right, before we start, how are you three? Are we all okay?
Yeah, good.
Yes,
very good.
Yep, hating Coventry.
Oh, I've hated him for years, mate. I've hated him for years. I don't want to go there.
Who doesn't?
Oh, honestly. Oh. Give me the worst memory.
This rivalry they've started with us, I tell you, especially on social media. So,
honestly.
They're like the new Burnley, aren't they?
They are.
Oh, who cares about them?
Cheeky boys.
Cheeky boys.
Oh, yeah. They are.
But never mind, it's fine. But, Christmas review. Let's start on a positive, shall we? I'll start with you, JD. Christmas review. Obviously, the last time we spoke, we were about to go to Port Vale. We went to Port Vale. I'll put my hands up. I don't want to go back. That place was grim. But we got a really, really good 3-0 win. It was like we didn't go out of second gear. We looked comfortable. And we got back on the bus and watched the Geordies get beat as well. So it was quite a good night.
It was a great night, yeah. I mean, I think I was talking about the game on the last podcast, and I thought it might be tough. You know, it was potential banana skin, all those cliches that you hear. But on the night, it turned out to be quite comfortable. We got a stroke of luck with our first goal. And then, you know, Port Vale just didn't do anything all game. It was a stroll, really. Far more comfortable than I expected.
It was. I mean, you were probably in the same position I was. I didn't know if the first goal had gone in. I was quite surprised when I saw Johnny Elson run off. And I was like, what's he doing? Then realised, oh, it's 1-0. It's 1-0. It was quite a surprise.
Didn't everybody else around you jumping up and down give you the smallest of clues?
I'd had a fair bit to drink by then, Mr. Donovan, as you well know. So.
as we all had.
Yes, we all had, exactly. I mean, yeah, it was an experience that night. It was a really big experience, but I proper enjoyed it. But seeing the Geordies get beat was absolute moment. And then Dicko, who do we get in the next round? The Conquerors,
Chelsea. Yeah, I think it was a good draw. To be fair, I was like John Donovan. I didn't want Newcastle in the next round. Didn't want them at all. Didn't want all that derby nonsense at the moment when we're in a different division to them. We'll see about that when we clear them in the Premier League. And Chelsea, they're not in great form. They're not in great shape. They're massive favourites. It's a free hit for Middlesbrough. It's going to be a good night at the Riverside. It'll be a cracking night down at Stamford Bridge with 4,500 Borough fans going down. And it'll be what it'll be. And, you know, if it happens, it happens. If not, As long as Middlesbrough have a real good pop at Chelsea, so be it. But two great games to look forward to. Can't wait.
I know, me neither. I really can't wait. The home leg's going to be so good next week. I'm looking forward to that. Obviously, we'll preview that next Monday. We'll have a chat about that. So, but Ryan, do you know much about the rivalry with Chelsea?
I know a little bit. I've obviously, since 2003, 2004, watched it a bit. I was actually quite upset when, I don't know if you remember this, but when Schwarzer was in his like well over past years, he went there as like a third, fourth string keeper. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, Mark, what are you doing? You know what I mean? So I know a little bit, but obviously being so far away, you don't sort of get to experience, you know, the true nature of the rivalry when you're not in the ground and that stuff like that. But I know of it for sure.
Yeah, the amount of cup final defeats and stuff they've had against us. I know we had the game in the late '80s where we did relegate them, which was quite nice. These older boys will know that I wasn't born, but I think that's
when it started. It was the '80s game when it started, yeah. Wasn't it? When Middlesbrough played in the old system playoffs, and Middlesbrough got promoted and relegated Chelsea, and there was a lot of football violence and hooliganism down at Stamford Bridge. I think that's when the rivalry was set in stone.
Yeah.
And just by chance, ever since then, we've played them in some big, big games. So they were the first team to come to the Riverside, of course.
Yeah.
The first opening day when Craig Hignett scored the winner.
He did.
And we've had some cup finals where we've been crying in our beer when Chelsea have done win the cup finals. But it'll be an interesting tie because Chelsea are huge favourites, like I said. But you never know. You never know if Middlesbrough get a few players back and a couple of players in. Football's a funny old game.
Well, that's it. I mean, yeah, it is a funny old game. I've got an opinion about what I think we'll do against Chelsea, but I'll save that for next week. I think I bored John with it yesterday.
No. Listen, I'll save my thoughts on Chelsea as well until next week. I've got some. I've got some choice words also, Steve.
Yes. I've got some really choice words. I'll have to get Jason's with the swear jar out for this one. So, it'd be a good one. But, right, we're getting to the Christmas fixtures then. Obviously, four games over Christmas, 4 points. No, 6 points. Six points,
yeah.
Still not great, though, is it? Especially when you look at, I mean, I know West Brom were tough. He was always going to be tough. But Rotherham and Huddersfield only come out with 3 points, was really disappointing. And obviously yesterday was really disappointing. Obviously, I know you covered it on your social media platforms, right? People watching things like that and, or your Twitter and or X or whatever the hell it's called these days. But what were your thoughts about our Christmas form? Obviously, it was literally win-loss, win-loss.
Yeah, it was. It was interesting, wasn't it? It was up and down. I mean, it just showed the severity for me how thin the squad is over that Christmas period. We had such a run of games in so close together. You were expecting results, against Rotherham. You were expecting results against Huddersfield. We were hoping for Coventry, but Coventry's resurgence is all well and, known. And Mark Robbins is a brilliant gaffer, and he's got them playing right and again, exactly like they did last season when they turned their form around and, ended up in the playoffs, obviously. So, yeah, look, it was just thin squad that just affected us. Missing Hackney, missing Latte Lat there as well, Joshy Coburn coming back from injury, having no recognised striker to go to those teams. You could see, And I think the exciting thing for me, but probably the most frustrating thing, was how many chances we've created in these games. I mean, you saw against Coventry that first 45, we should have put them to bed. You mm-hmm. saw against, in the other games where we're creating 30 to 40 chances, and I'm slightly exaggerating, but it was about 90 chances and we still couldn't bury them. You know what I mean? So without a recognised striker, thin squad, Carrick can't turn to the bench. It just, it sort of just caught up with us. And I thought we were still very, very fortunate to still be within 4 points of the playoffs after this run of fixtures with such a thin squad and taking 6 points from it, because it could have been a lot worse. It really could have.
I mean, it could have been. You're absolutely right. I mean, we mentioned it yesterday, John, about, we looked knackered in that second half. We really did. But I think we said before the Christmas run-in, we just got to stay in touch with these playoff spots. And we're still only 4 points behind Sunderland, who have got 40 points. We're still in there. We're still in with a shout. And we've got the rumours of three players coming back into training this week. And, the fixtures being a little bit more favourable. Not like quality-wise, I mean more timing-wise, because a bit more time between fixtures. I mean, are we fortunate to still be in with a shout? And, do we have to take that as a positive?
Well, yeah, we're still sort of clinging onto the coattails of the playoff places. But, 6 points from four games isn't too bad. It should have been more, in my opinion. I mean, how we come away from Rotherham with nothing at all, it baffles me. But, as Grant Ledbetter would say, that's football. We just have to take it on the chin. I thought we performed really well against West Brom and only got a 1-0 win. Again, like Rye said, number of chances created was amazing, and number of chances spurned the same over this Christmas period. The lack of an out-and-out centre-forward is telling, and we all know that. But in the games, good win against West Brom, frustrating against Rotherham. Not a great performance, but a win against Huddersfield. Mm-hmm. So we go on to the game against Coventry, and I thought if we get something out of this game, draw or 3 points, yeah. I thought that would have been a good return. However, you know, we, like you said, we come out second half, and it was like we'd been drained of ideas, energy. There was no intensity. There was no zip. We just looked flat-footed and leggy. But, like Rye said again, we should have had that game wrapped up by half-time.
Sounds like he's agreeing with you a lot there, Rye. but no, you're absolutely
well,
right.
I've got two lads on the pods. I'll agree with Rye and I'll see what happens what Dicko says.
Well, we're going to find out now because, as John said there, Dicko, you know, second half yesterday we just looked really flat-footed, and I mean, I was fuming. I was stood there absolutely fuming yesterday because how we went from where we were in the first half to where we were in the second half absolutely baffled me. But when I sat down and thought about it, I think the amount of games, 4 games in 10 days, I think has caught up to us, especially with the depleted squad that we've got. I mean, don't get me wrong, the mistakes that we made for the goals weren't forgivable for me. I mean, the second and third goals were a disgrace, quite honest. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. But we did look tired. But, you know, how have you found this Christmas running, I suppose? You know, is 6 points fair, or should we have got 9 at minimum?
Well, as a self-proclaimed Lord of Darkness of the podcast, I'm probably surprised John Donovan a little bit because, to be fair, if you look at the games over the Christmas period, I thought a superb victory against West Brom. Really well, you know, a lot of people wouldn't have tipped to win that game, and we did and deserved to win that game. We should have won it by more. Rotherham was, for me, one of those freak games. It was just a typical Borough moment where we've seen it before over the years, where we dominate games and somehow end up losing the game, which, you know, you can't legislate for, but the performance itself was very, very decent. You rock into Huddersfield and they put in a display that I like, that I talk about in the podcast, where I keep saying go away from home, dig in. Doesn't have to be fantastic football away from home in bad conditions, graft, battle, scrap for each other. And I thought they did that against Huddersfield. And I thought, though we weren't pretty on the eye, we deserved just about to win that game. And I really enjoyed the Huddersfield game. Then Coventry on what day was it? What day was the Coventry game on?
Yesterday,
Monday.
Yeah. I'm all over the shop with the days. the Coventry game, I enjoyed it. I took the wife, went down, thoroughly enjoyed Middlesbrough's first half performance. Should have been 3-4 at half time. And then, you know, the old Duracell bunnies when they're doing the cymbals. And somebody takes the bat, and somebody takes the batteries out, and suddenly stop. You can see the second half. You know, we were absolutely knackered. The players had give the all against Huddersfield. They had give the all first half against Coventry and deserved more. In second half, I caught up with them. And you know, I'm the first one, as John knows, to criticise if I think criticism is needed. I looked at that bench. I don't know what Michael Carrick could do. There was nothing to bring on. There was nothing to change the game. Coventry could change it. They had good options and they did that. And Mark Robbins is a good manager. And I think he said in his press conference afterwards, basically, that we caught Middlesbrough at a good time. And he admitted that he should have been behind at half-time. And they got pretty much lucky. And over those 4 games, to be fair, I think Middlesbrough probably deserve more points. I think 6 is average. We probably deserve 9 or 10, to be honest, on the 4 performances. We could have easily beat Rotherham. And we could have easily on another day beat Coventry if we had more options. So, like Middlesbrough's season, it's just a frustrating period for me because I believe if we had more players fit and available and options available, I think I said on the last podcast before Christmas, we could win all these games. We could win all these games, and it's proved that we could have won all those games, but the gods have contrived for Middlesbrough not to win all those games. I mean, not even to have Matt Crooks available. Dyke Steele got injured over the Christmas period. We had even more players out, which you couldn't even imagine. So, all in all, frustrating, decent return, some decent performances. And If you look at it, I was thinking, I don't know what you lads think. I think Saturday was probably the lowest ebb Middlesbrough can go to. I don't think we can fall any lower in terms of being so tired, options and, you know, bad results, because we can only get stronger from here. And like Michael Carrick said after the game in his press conference, this might be the turning point now with Hackney, Crooks, Latyalaf coming back in training next week. Hopefully, fingers crossed, we get a couple of new signings through the door over the next week or two. And, you know, 4 points off the playoffs. At the start of the season, I predicted in the first podcast that we'd come sixth. And I still believe that's on. I still think Middlesbrough will take that last position in the playoffs.
I'll take that.
Bloody hell, Diggo, you surprised me. Yeah, what a great start of the year. Thanks very much. You've cheered me up, man.
We will.
As I say it, and we'll never always agree on everything, but I will say what I see. And I thought Middlesbrough, with the circumstances and the injury concerns and the options we've got, I thought they'd done pretty well. I thought they were very unlucky in a couple of the games.
We had nothing on the bench, did we? We could call upon. I mean, I think half the bench, I think at 4 o'clock, all the mothers called them to come in for the tea. They were that young. Yeah, have a bath and have your tea, lads. So they couldn't have come on. But we managed to keep ourselves in the hunt, so to speak. We haven't sort of lost too much ground. And I hope you're right in what Calix says and what you say there, that, you know, this has been the lowest point for our number of injuries and players away on international duty. So combined, the number doesn't increase. Let's hope we get more players back and we have more choice available.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're absolutely right there.
I
think a stat's coming out because you put your glasses on. Go on.
Correct.
Here we go.
After the Chelsea game, mm-hmm. I was looking at the Middlesbrough fixtures coming up, and obviously, hopefully by this stage, we'll have more players back, and maybe there's a couple of signings coming in, which is what we need desperately. And we've got Millwall away, who are 15th, followed by Rotherham at home, who are bottom. We've got Birmingham, fair enough, they've just lost Wayne Rooney, but the 20th. We've got the home game against Sunderland in the derby, which is going to be a packed Riverside Stadium. It's a big game. It's a good game for Middlesbrough to play in. We've got Bristol City at home, who are 11th, followed by Preston away, who are struggling, who are down to 14th. So if you're Michael Carrick and you're looking at this at the moment as low as we can probably go in terms of options and squad depth, you would look at those fixtures and identify those as a real opportunity to get into that top six. And I hope that's what they're doing. And as I say, if we can get the players back fit, a couple of options in through the transfer window, I'm sure Michael Carrick is looking at those games and thinking, if we don't win at least four of them, he'll be disappointed.
Well, like you say, I mean, there's a large group of teams that are round about 3, 4, 5 points split like between them all. And we don't have to be in the playoffs now. It doesn't matter. Yeah. You know, if we can just sort of like keep in touch till about beginning of April. And then obviously once we've got injured players back from international duty, then if our form sort of kicks on then, yeah, we can squeeze in. And that's all you've got to do. It's not about being in the top six all season and changing from third to fifth to fourth, up and down in that small group of teams. It's about being there at the end of the season, being in the top six. And I'm like you, Dicko, I haven't lost faith. You know, we can still do it. We've got the ability. I've seen some fantastic passages of play that these players are producing. Even when we've been like depleted, you know, it's the same sort of like philosophy, if you, for want of a better word, throughout the first team and the reserve teams. You know, it's possession football. It's keeping it and it's playing it nice. It's patience, and we're creating chances. So I'm still hopeful.
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, I've just been having a look at the table then while you were I'll say quietly playing, because you know you're actually getting on quite nicely, so well done. I mean, between West Brom, who were fifth, obviously, and Blackburn, who were 17th, it's 10 points. That's it. 10 points. You know what I mean? That's how
the table's lying.
What?
The table's lying. The table's lying. Yeah, I mean, classic Woodgate, the table's lying. I mean, you look at Ipswich, who are in second. They've had four draws, you know, in the past five games and lost one. I mean, they're falling pretty hard at the moment. They've got George Hurst now out for injury, so they're dropping as well. McKenna's sort of trying to hit panic buttons there. Southampton are obviously taking that spot. Then you've got Leeds and West Brom. We reversed West Brom, you know, two games ago. We beat them. They didn't look too crash hot to me. They're still above us. Sunderland are, you know, they're going to pull a Sunderland at some point under, you know, Beale. So they're going to drop away. Do you know what I mean? Hull, I don't rate as well. Hull are just, they're just sort of very inconsistent. So there's teams in there that are sitting above us that I still think has got a lot of story to play out for the rest of the season. And if we can just, like the boys said, if we can just stay there or thereabouts while we get these boys back, while we get some recruitment in, you know, while we get through AFCON and this Asian Cup now with the boys from Australia, you know, in a month or two's time, if we're still there, thereabouts, then we can start to have a big push. And it doesn't take much in the championship to, you know, to climb a couple of places. So, yeah, I'm still very positive, and I still think we're, you know, for what we've had injury-wise and what we've had, you know, to be able to put on that pitch like you saw on the weekend, you know, to be sitting in 12th, you know, it could be a lot worse. You know what I mean? Look at Birmingham, you know, with Rooney today. So, you know, it could be a lot worse.
I mean, I think it's given players opportunities, and some have taken it. You know, I think Rodgers is grown in confidence immensely. I mean, he looked superb against Coventry, especially first half. Even second half, he was still trying to run with the ball, take players on. He was trying to create. So I think he's taken his chance really well.
I mean, I did tell you about Rodgers beginning of the season. I'm just saying. But he's grown so much, and he looked a real talent yesterday. He looked the confidence he had gliding past players yesterday. There was that chance, was it the end of the first half? He linked up with Jones, and his shot was deflected just past the post. And me and you, John, looked at each other and went, that would have been one of the goals of the season, because he broke so quick and he was so fluent. I honestly thought he was in. From where I was stood, I was like, that's in. There was no other place it was going. It had
Gaston Ramirez vibes against Bournemouth.
Yeah. Mm.
And I wish he had just went himself instead of passing it to Jones.
Yeah.
I wish he had just went himself and hit it. I think he might have scored because they were backing off and they were terrified of him. And I thought he was going to do a Ramirez and just go all the way and put it in the back of the net. I know he passed it and he got it back and he just put it wide, but I think if he'd went himself and just been a little bit more selfish, I think he made the score. Brilliant player though. Brilliant. He's had a fantastic few weeks.
Rodgers.
He really has. He's come like John said before. He's really come to the fore for Middlesbrough at a time when we need a talisman and need someone to step up. Mm. He's really stepped up and he seems to be full of confidence and he's got a bit of character about him as well, which I like.
He is. He's full of beans at the moment. He's. I hope he doesn't do what Gaston did in January. I hope he stops with that. You know what I mean? Just cut it there, kid. You know what I mean? But yeah, it's been an all right Christmas and New Year. It's, you know, we're going to the New Year hopeful. We're still 4 points off the playoffs. You know, we're still there. Players coming back. Obviously, it's transfer window time now. Obviously, there's been a few players linked with us, as you know, ins and outs and things. First question I'm going to put straight to you, Rye. Is Ryan McGree staying or going?
Nah, he's staying, mate. Yeah, he won't be negotiating during January while he's away in Dubai. So, yeah, he won't be going anywhere. I'm very, very confident of that. So, I don't know what the summer holds for him if he keeps performing the way he does. And obviously the Socceroos and stuff like that. He'll play every game for the Socceroos now. So he'll try and get the match fitness. Touch wood, he doesn't get injured while he's there. But no, I don't think he's going anywhere.
I'm so glad you touched your head then. but absolutely right. There you go. There's your exclusive. That's a question I wanted to ask. Yeah. Is he going anywhere? I knew you know the answer.
Nah.
But
I got a DM from him literally last week as I was just saying happy news to him, and the love he has for the club and the bar still at the moment. I'd be the most shocked man on the planet if there was. if he wasn't at, still at the club come February.
There you go. There's your exclusive. You know, I'll snip it and clip it and release it. There you go. We know how to do that now, so we will do that. So there you go. But I'll stay with you, right? What are you wanting from this transfer window? I know there's a couple of positions we've all discussed throughout the season as we've gone on. We're massively lacking in. Obviously, we've all said, give Corbyn and Latelier the chance. Let's see how many goals they accumulate. Have they accumulated enough goals to say we don't need another striker, or do you think another number nine is needed now?
No, we need another number nine, just purely on the fact that you can see now with the injuries, do you know what I mean? That there's just two's not enough. Now, I'm fully for it. Let's give Latte and Coburn a chance. We saw how good Josh Coburn can be in that first 45 minutes. But we need someone still to be able to supplement that squad. Have a third person to back up when Latte Lath is injured, when Josh Coburn's got niggles. He's only 19 years old. You know what I mean? Is he going to be able to carry the club for the next few months, you know, without any help? I doubt it. Latte Lath, I think, is very exciting. But he doesn't, for me, Latte Lath has got that speed. He's got that energy. He's got that flair. But he's still learning how to lead a team as a solo striker, if that makes any sense. Josh Coburn has that natural holding up the ball ability and the ability to sort of, you know, take the biggest defender off with him. But Latte Lath still can't really hold it up as well. You know, we try and play that counter-attacking long ball system to him. So we need a third striker in there, definitely. And then for me, we need to look at the centre-back role and the right-back as well for me. We need a centre-back that can come in. Mind you, Matt Clark, I thought he was fantastic against Coventry. I know we let three goals in, but Matt Clark was the bloke that was out there sliding in front of those goals. Do you remember the wonder goals we've seen this season? You know what I mean? We're from certain teams where they've just come in and they've scored 30-yard, 40-yard screamers. And we're like, why can't someone just throw their body in the way to block that? Matt Clark did that yesterday against Coventry. He, if you ever go back and look, the bloke's just come back after the worst back injury you've ever seen. And he's throwing himself around on the pitch like the big bald eagle that he is. And it was incredible to see. And for me, seeing him and Johnny Howson at the age of 35 as well, do you know what I mean? I know we talk about Morgan Rogers. Johnny Howson. Do you know what I mean? He'd be out there in a wheelchair if he's getting on that much and he's still kicking on. So it's just, so for me, midfield's fine. Striker is a need, is a must because of the injuries. And I'd say, and a right back is definitely on the cards for me because Dykstil's just, you know, Tommy Smith out for the season and Dykstil's had, so he's like the Marcus Force, you know what I mean? Him and Marcus Force are just so injury plagued at the moment that it's hard to sort of think that we can rely on him for the rest of the season. So they're the big ones for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Big bald eagle. There you go.
That's him. Clucky.
Wow.
Well, it was funny. It was funny at Huddersfield when Carrick was making the change and Matt Clark come on. Those people around me, what the hell's going on? What's he doing? Mm. Really sort of like questioning that that substitution. Yet I thought he came on and I thought he Huddersfield were on the ascendancy at the time and I thought he took the sting right out of Huddersfield's play. And then obviously he pops up for that assist for Johnny Howson's winner. It was a great call by Carrick. It stopped Huddersfield and then we were able to push on and we got the winner. I like him. He's dependable. I still don't think he's sort of like one of the centre halves who can play the ball out from the back. I think he's an old fashioned type of centre half rather than a defender who plays out from the back. But he's done well since he's come back from his back injury because he was out for, God, it was close to a year, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was 13 months. Yeah.
Yeah, he was in the same place where Marcus Force is. Where's he gone? Where's he?
I think he's on holiday with Shola Amiobi, isn't he?
Yeah,
Sammy Amiobi, sorry.
Where's he gone? Where's Sammy Amiobi gone? There's another one. Do we have a hospital in the North East where they just disappear for a year?
Yeah, we do.
You know what I mean? Like, where's they gone?
It would be nice to get up. It would be nice to get updates on some players, but it's just we're grateful for small mercies at the moment. We've got three back in training now, which is good news.
It is great news. Great news. I mean, you know, I don't need updates on, you know, how many sponge baths to get a day and all that. I don't care about that. Just, you know, are you close to getting walking or back on a bit of grass? That's all I want to know. Not really bothered about what you're eating for your tea. But, gentlemen, is Rye spot on what you're saying? Right back, centre half, maybe centre forward. Is that what we're looking at?
I would say we need a midfield player. I'm not as confident in our midfield options as what Rye is. I'm not a huge fan of Dan Barlasa. I've said on here before, nothing against the lad. He's had chance after chance for me. He's played 34, 35, 36 games for Middlesbrough now, hasn't scored a goal. His assists that he come in to do aren't happening. He's maybe got two assists, three assists maximum since he's been at the club. His performances go from decent to awful by the game, and he's done that over the Christmas. He's had a decent game, and an awful game, and a decent game, and an average game. I'm not a huge fan. I don't think personally he's going to be the answer for Middlesbrough long term. If I'm wrong, I'll hold my hands up. But at the moment, I don't see Dan Barlasa moving forward as being a future Middlesbrough starter or a real engine room in the team. I don't see it. I think he's got shortcomings in his games. I don't suit the way we play. He sits far too deep, jumps in front of the back four all the time, and he keeps causing me trouble by giving the ball away deep, right in front of our back four. He keeps giving the ball away and causing other teams to press with. So I would like to see another midfield player come in with more legs around, like when we got Ramsey last season, who offered that bit of pace, that bit of impetus going forward. We've massively missed Hayden Hackney for me. Hackney and Housen are Middlesbrough's engine room and have to start if they're both fit. But I'd like to see another option come in, more of the Hackney mould, actually, that can just get about it and get forward and get a few goals and put a few tackles in. I know they're hard to come by and they cost a lot of money, but if we could, I would like to see another midfield player in there. Centre forward is key. I agree with Rye. I wouldn't want another centre forward to come in to sit on the bench for Latialath or Coburn. I would like to see a centre forward come in to replace both of them. I'd like to see another player come in who is like last season when we got a Cameron Archer. I'd like to see someone like that come in who comes in and is the main man, and Latialath and Coburn have to fight it out to play with him. That's what I'd like. I don't disagree with the centre-back. I think we could do another defender in there. If there seems to be a few around at the moment. We've been linked with Charlie Cresswell from Leeds and Scott McKenna from Nottingham Forest, amongst others. So I think we probably will end up getting another centre-back in as well. So for me, another defender needs to come in, another midfield player, and definitely 100% a top centre-forward. But they're like Goldust, aren't they, to be fair?
Yeah, they are. You're absolutely right. I hear there's a centre-back imminent. So that's all I'm saying. There you go. But yeah, I've heard there is a centre-back imminent coming in. That's easy for me to say.
Have you been asked to go to the beach to do any filming for Dimitri?
No, I haven't. Well, been asked to get the hat out or anything.
I've heard he has, John, but not football related.
Oh, aye. Are you doing the remake of Baywatch?
It's not what I've heard it's going to be called, but similar.
Right watch. There you go. The exclusive
of popular. Nothing at the moment. No Aussies that I know of. But I mean, I'm hearing the same thing as you, lads. So the McKenna thing for me, you can see at Nottingham Forest that he's been pushed to the side and he's had a big falling out, with club staff apparently. So yeah, I'm hearing centre back. Just on the injury front as well, we were talking just then as well, you were saying about how Carrick just doesn't give it anything away. I was talking to Craig Johns just recently as well. Craig Johns obviously for the Gazette, and he was saying Carrick is the one of the funniest, most frustrating managers I think he's ever had to interview, because he just gets time and time again just gets the hand just to not stop asking about injuries, because Carrick just doesn't give anything away, does he? So, and if you want to get any info out of Carrick for January or injuries, he's not your man to ask, because he keeps it so close to his chest. The bloke would be the best poker player in the world. So, I hope we get something in soon for sure.
Just before I ask JD about what he thinks about what's coming in and going out, yeah, absolutely right about Carrick. Because I remember sitting down with him last year, trying to ask him questions about stuff, and he was just like, I asked him, does he enjoy football still? And he just looked straight at me and went, no. And that's all he said, no. Didn't give me any explanation, just went, no. I don't want to play football again. I was like, wow. I thought you managed, he went, I played it since I was six, I don't want to play again. I went, fair enough.
Fair enough.
There you go, mate, no problem. He said, I'd rather play a round of golf. I went, fair enough. That's fine, mate. Glad I had that conversation. But anyway, John, do you disagree with anything that the boys have said? Or would you look at another position to look at?
I'm hopeful that we can make inroads into the transfer market in January, but part of me wants the transfers to be permanent. I don't, I know loan deals have helped us in the past, but they've also hindered us insofar as at the end of the season they go away and we're starting from scratch again to build our squad. So I'd like if any activity was to take place, that it would be permanent moves for the not for the short term, but for the medium to long term, to help the club push on.
Absolutely, couldn't agree more. There you go, first one.
I think it's difficult to do in January though, because everybody puts the prices up in January. So, to get players in permanently, it's very difficult in January. And I think Middlesbrough were smart in the summer because the recruitment was, the players that were brought in, let's be honest, were a downgrade on what were let go. However, they were all permanent and they're all Middlesbrough players. So our squad next summer is going to be a lot more, I would say, we're not looking to bring in next summer, say 6-7 players next summer. We're maybe looking to bring in 4 or 5. So I think that was done looking towards next summer as well, a little bit of future thinking. I thought we'd done well. Yeah, as I say, like see Morgan Rogers is a perfect example. He's coming to replace maybe Tuba Akpom. He's not at the same level as Tuba Akpom, but this season we can see him developing. He's getting better, but he's our player. The next season, Morgan Rogers will probably be better again, as will Sammy Silveira, as will Vandenberg. They'll probably all be better next season. So I think with hindsight, Middlesbrough have done probably better business in the summer than what I give them credit for. And so I don't think it would be too harmful for Middlesbrough if they brought in a couple of quality Premiership loans to maybe launch us into that playoff mix.
There you go, then. Nice. That was nice and positive, wasn't it? Could have been a lot worse. So, we're all hopeful we'll get some people in. And yeah, fingers crossed. Like Rice said, after February, when the international players are back and got more injuries coming back into full fitness and back into training, yeah, it's going to be a positive running, a positive 3 months into the end of the season. So, we'll check back in February. We'll talk about that again. But let's preview Aston Villa. So, Aston Villa, they are second in the Premier League. They've won 4 of their last 6 in the league, including wins against Arsenal and Manchester City. Their squad looks absolutely phenomenal. Probably the best I've seen Villa in, I'd probably say, about 25 years, when they were hitting towards second and third in the league. I know they had a good squad under Martin O'Neill, but this one looks absolutely phenomenal. JD, give me some positivity about Saturday, because I see absolutely nothing.
Well, I love the FA Cup. I love the FA Cup, so I'm looking forward to Saturday.
Yeah.
But also, obviously, on Tuesday, we've got Chelsea. And if you were to ask 100 Borough fans which game is more important to them, they'd obviously say, the vast majority would obviously say the Chelsea game, and I fully understand that. So it's going to be intriguing as to how we approach the Aston Villa game with regards to the team we put out. I don't want to throw the game. I don't want to roll over and die and be embarrassed by a ridiculous scoreline. If Villa are on form, they would be quite capable of doing that. obviously they're going to rest a lot of players. But we saw,
we saw
last year, even when Brighton came and rested quite a few players, they turned us over 5-1. You know, it wasn't nice. And I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that sort of scoreline again. But obviously, you've got to think about the game on Tuesday. So I'm not, and I never want to underestimate the FA Cup because it's a great competition. I love it, but more focus will be put on Tuesday. So I've no idea what team we'll put out. I know the availability of a lot of players is still not known. So I don't know what he'll do. I just hope we can compete. We can give him a good game. I'll be there. I'll be cheering the butter on. Just hope we can get something out of the game. But like I said, Tuesday's massive, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean that was my question. I was going to pose to the three of you. I mean, you massively alluded to it there. Would you sacrifice Saturday to have a good crack at Chelsea on Tuesday? Are you on not going straight for it? Are you going like round the houses and saying, "Yeah, I would, but not too much of a sacrifice"? Am I reading that right?
Me, I'm undecided. I mean, I want to see Middlesbrough put out the best possible team every time we play, because you know they're playing for us fans. But I do understand that the club will see Tuesday's game as far more important. So I don't know how we'll approach it, to be honest.
No.
That's my take on it.
There you go. He went right round the roundabout, the biggest roundabout you could ever see.
But, yeah. I'm just getting back on that fence.
You're telling me you are. You've filled in the hole that's in the middle of that roundabout on the 66, so don't worry about it. It's fine. You've gone right round it. But I get what you mean. I understand what you're saying. Right, same question to you. Would you sacrifice Saturday for a good run at Tuesday? I mean, end of the day, Tuesday's a semi-final.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's for me, it kind of picks itself, doesn't it? I mean, the goalkeeper's Tom Glover, otherwise it's Jamie Jones. Do you know what I mean? You can probably rest a few boys in there, but...
It doesn't pick himself then, does it?
it's just that we're that thin. Yeah, and I mean, if you don't want to lose any of those boys that probably played against Coventry for that Chelsea game, so... it's a tough one for me. You know, Michael Carrick, this is where he earns his keep as a manager, as a head coach, because he's got to put out a competitive team this weekend, because you don't want to roll over in the FA Cup. It's a prestigious tournament. You want to see if there is a youngster, go out there, give it their all. And you want to see some of the boys in there that could probably give Aston Villa a real challenge. Josh Coburn's just come back from injury, so I dare say he needs to, you know, some minutes before Chelsea. But again, do you risk him if Latte Lath has only just come back? So this is where he earns his money. This is where he's earned his money for me, in terms of how he coaches this weekend and how he picks that team. It's going to be very interesting to see. I think if it's Michael Carrick, consistency is the key, and he'll just play whatever he can, best team out there. And I think that's how he'll just do it. What we saw at Coventry, I think we'll see pretty similar against Aston Villa, and then probably pretty similar, apart from maybe a Hayden Hackney or someone like that against Chelsea. They could be a bit of a surprise package, but for them to come in fresh with no game time against Chelsea is a big ask. But while I've got the lads here, I just wanted to quickly ask as well, for me, Sam Greenwood, because I wanted to get the legends in Dicko, John D as well, your opinion on Sam Greenwood. And I know I'm off topic here, but I just quickly, I needed to ask because it's been burning in my soul. Sam Greenwood, for me, boys, has been getting a little bit niggly past couple of games. Now, we saw that fantastic free kick against Leicester. We've seen him obviously, you know, perform and get some chipping with some goals. But the past couple of games, lads, for me, he's been getting a little bit too aggressive, maybe pushing across to the side where you saw Van Ewijk, especially against Coventry, getting under his skin and really starting to push him. And I think opposition have now sort of clued onto him a bit, that he can be a bit of a bloke that we can sort of get under the skin of. And for me, he's a walking red card at the moment with his aggression and the niggles that he's got. And I'm starting to get a little bit worried for me in terms of the reliability of Sam Greenwood, in terms of just not getting red carded or carded in a game and getting put mentally out of the game. I'm not sure what you lads think. I've just been noticing over the past couple of games, and I've been burning my soul, and I needed to ask the guys in the know what you all think of that.
Well, I'm guessing you're asking them too, because I don't know.
Go on, John. I'll let you go first. Go on.
I was just going to say, he put himself in a situation with a daft pullback, didn't he? You know, on Monday, the guy went past him and he just dragged him back. It was stupid. It was a yellow card, and like you say, it put him on a tightrope then for the rest of the game. It's difficult with Sam Greenwood. I mean, we had conversation a couple of months back. About should we sign him now? Now the agreement's in place, the fees in place. Should we just sign him now? I said no reason to. Let's see how it goes. Others said yes, he's earned it. Blah blah blah. But you know, I don't think he's done badly, but I don't think he's shone in too many games. You know, like being our key player in too many games. So the jury's out for me as regards the permanent signing of him. But I agree with you, Rye. He just sometimes does, he has silly little moments where he can, you know, give free kicks away in dangerous positions and just get himself involved in daft little sort of private battles, which can cost the team. I don't like to see it.
I would say he looks like a player in need of a rest. I think since his goal against Leicester, he had a little purple patch where he was scoring a few goals against Sunderland, and he had, you know, the great free kick against Leicester. But since then, he's missed a lot of good chances for Middlesbrough, gilt-edged chances, which you would expect a player to put away. I'm talking not just one or two, I'm talking four or five that he's missed. And his form's been not so good for a while now. And I'm sure if Michael Carrick had other options on the bench in Marcus Force and Riley McGree, I think he would have been sitting on the bench for a few games, certainly at the moment. It's an interesting one whether you would sign him or not, because 1.5 million isn't a lot of money. It's chicken feed really these days. And I think he's probably worth every penny of 1.5 million. But it's whether the gaffer, Michael Carrick, you know, can see a future for him at the club moving forward. Concerning, like what you've mentioned, his discipline and he's tracking back and getting into niggles. And as I say, lately his form hasn't been great. I think the best thing to do with Sam Greenwood is leave it at the end of the season, see how the season pans out, see what league we're in. And see if the deal's still available for 1.5 million. I don't think it would be a poor decision to sign him for that type of money. But I agree with both of you that he needs to pick his game up, because he's been a bit of a passenger for the last four or five games for me.
Yeah, I won't disagree with anything that's being said there. I will say one thing though: I did feel like I was stood next to his dad yesterday, because when he did start and he kicked off, watching John step down the stairs going, "Just leave it, just leave it." I was like, that's like his dad shouting at him. He was two steps away from going on the pitch and grabbing him by the collar and just going, "You just leave him." But no, he's absolutely right. He needs to rein in a little bit. He needs to calm down.
He does.
But I think Dick was right. He just needs a bit of a rest, because he has been, I know he had obviously the rest against Leeds because he wasn't eligible to play that game. But he's been chucked in for the majority of the games that we've had since the last international break. So,
What I would say in Sam Greenwood's favour is he's had very little game time in his career. Mm-hmm. He's never had a run of starts like he has at the moment since he's come to Middlesbrough. This is the most games he's ever played, the most 90 minutes games he's ever played.
Yeah.
So maybe he's just finding out that football's a little tougher than he thought, you know. So yeah, it's a learning curve for him. He's young. And I'm sure he'll only get better through it.
It is a massive.
It's just that discipline. It's just that discipline for me, lads, that I wanted to get your thoughts on, because you're the ones in the ground. But from what I'm seeing on the TVs, his discipline of the opposition just being able to get under his skin is becoming more and more apparent. And I feel like Van Ewyk exposed that on the weekend. Oh, sorry, against us quite evidently.
You've got to realise, Rye, as well, though, he's a Macam, you know? Just, you know, look at Jordan Pickford, you know? They're all the same. They need to calm down a notch.
Yep.
But he's only got little arms. He's only got little arms.
I'm sorry for taking you away from Villa, but I just it's been burning in my soul. I'm sorry.
No,
I wanted to see what the Bloods thought.
No, it's valid because obviously, you know, Saturday could be the opportunity to give him a bit of a rest, you know, a bit of a sit down and check him out the firing line. Cause I really do fit. I love the FA Cup. My dream is to watch Borough lift the FA Cup at some point in my life. Whether it'll happen, I don't know. You know, we should have won it in 2008 for me, but you know,
I'm just going to be honest. On Saturday, I'm sorry. I think Middlesbrough will get a hiding. I think the game's coming at the wrong time, squad wise. Villa, they'll want to do well in the FA Cup. They've got a fully fit squad. They'll probably take it reasonably seriously against where we've got to have an eye on the semi final, which is understandable. And not only that, we've got to have an eye on getting people fit back for the championship to try and push on to the playoffs. Exactly. And although I'd never want Middlesbrough to lose, I can't see. I'll be absolutely staggered if Middlesbrough find a way to beat Aston Villa on Saturday. And I do fear the worst for that particular game, I have to be honest.
Well, I'll stay with you then. Give me a score prediction.
I'll say 3-0 Villa.
Oh, Steve.
Wow.
I'm being kind.
I think you are being kind, to be quite honest, because you only wait to hear what I've got.
I'm wrong. I mean, I've got my tickets for the game, and I hope it's one of them games where somehow we get through with a decision, or Villa don't take it as seriously or whatever. I don't know, but I don't have a great deal of faith in the Villa game. And that's not because of Middlesbrough, it's the circumstance that we're in.
Give me a goal scorer as well, because obviously we've got to put this on for our charity bet, and I really am scared about putting this on.
I'll go Diaby, 3-0 Villa. And as I say, it kills me to say it because I always predict Middlesbrough to win every single week, but I just really can't say it.
There you go. John Donnell, I'll go with you.
Well, I might as well toss my pound in the teas. 3-3 Thorburn.
Okay. Wow. I didn't realise I'd give you that much at Port Vale. Wow. There we go. Rye, how come with you?
Still hungover.
Oh, telling me.
Yeah. Barrow gonna hold me out. We're just, you know, we're the best team in the world. So that's just, you know, that's evident. And two, Aston Villa are gonna come. They're gonna think it's easy. They're second in the Premier League. They're gonna play a bit of a lighter squad. We're going to put on a Leicester-style performance where we're just going to defend. Matty Clark, the big bald eagle, is going to be fantastic. Johnny Howson is going to look like an 18-year-old like he has the previous couple of weeks. We're going to win it. We're going to win it with a tough 2-0 win. Johnny Howson is going to get a goal because he's just a 35-year-old magician. And Joshy Coburn is going to show the world and the Premier League what he's all about. And then we're going to have to fight off Premier League teams coming in for him for the next month. But he's going to get on the scoreboard as well. So, yep. Oh, yeah. I actually think we're going to get up. Maybe I'm just, you know, too blind drunk in love with this club. But I just think, you know, Carrick just gets us up and performing. And tactically wise, I think he'll put in a bit of a lesser performance against Villa. And, you know, we'll show him.
There you go. I wish we could finish on that positive. It would be my score line is going to really. I've gone 5-1 Villa.
Oh,
I know. Sorry, mate. I can't hide how good Aston Villa are. I think Villa will win the cup this year. I really do.
We'll be looking for a new presenter soon.
Yes. Apply within. But I'm sorry.
It's a better time to come on in the breakfast show as well, so get a bit more of a lie in and stuff. So.
You know what I mean? I'm here to give my opinion. That's all I'm saying. Yes, 5-1 Villa. Ollie Watkins will get a goal, I think. I really do rate Ollie Watkins. I'm terrified about Saturday, but I'm really looking forward to next Tuesday. So that's why I think chuck the kids in, see what they can do. You know, give Kavanagh a goal. You know, give the youngsters a goal.
Law McCabe. I'm telling you now, watch Law McCabe. If you've heard about him and he's a technical midfielder, give him a run, give him some time. Law McCabe.
I told John about that. I said, watch Law McKim. He's one. Mm. So there you go. I've been backed up by the legend. So there you go. But there we go. That's a bit of a brighter note to finish on. I'll give you that. So there you go. Before we go, right, obviously, we've got Chelsea coming up.
We do.
Do you fancy us against Chelsea? Do you think we'll reach a Wembley final? Yes or no?
Yeah, definitely. I think we got to fancy ourselves. I mean, Chelsea, you know, can spend billions and billions of dollars, but it doesn't put a football team on that pitch. You know what I mean? And they'll probably, we'll probably beat them at the Riverside, and then they'll go and buy someone for 500 million, and he still won't be any good. So I just think, you know, we're a team that, you know, we play with a bit of this, not a bit of this. Do you know what I mean? So I think we're going to be right against Chelsea. So give us two legs, give us a strong start at the Riverside, give us a Hayden Hackney comeback, Latte Lath. You know, a couple of those boys that, you know, the heart and soul of the club, boys that are, you know, born and raised in our area. And, yeah, we'll give them a real fight. So I'm confident definitely against Chelsea. But I'm confident as always. You know what I mean? I'm ever the optimist, I should say.
Hey, mate, there you go.
Good man. Well done.
Yes, yes.
The spirit will shine through, won't it?
It will.
And his poor neighbours will hear every bit of it.
Yes, they will. Yes, exactly. They will.
So fingers crossed we can do that on Saturday. I mean, it's a bit of a better time for you on Saturday, obviously, with a bit of a later kickoff. So, you know.
Right, do you want to plug your breakfast show?
Yeah, go ahead.
If you want to, I'm on the North East Breakfast Show.
I've had a listen. It's brilliant. It's
thank you. I appreciate it. Plug. Yeah, we do the North East Breakfast Show now 5 days a week. It's on the red, exactly. The big logo behind Jacko's body there. So there
body?
It is.
Wow.
So, yeah, we're live. the physique that is Jacko. And then we 5 days a week, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. local. It's me, Ted, who's a Macam, and Steve Wraith, who's a Newcastle boy. And we have the banter, and I, you know, represent the borough as best as I can, and I talk too much to keep them too quiet. So that's, you know, I plug the bar and look after them as much as I can. So everything bar for me, loving it. And it's been a fantastic journey on that show. I'm loving it. Just love talking bar every day. So it's fantastic. And thanks for coming on. Thanks for having me, boys. It's good to be back just surrounded by Middlesbrough lads. You know what I mean? I'm not having to fight. Welcome. You know what I mean? I can actually get some boys that, you know what we're talking about other than these two, you know, Ted and Steve.
Thanks for coming on. That's my line.
Sorry. Well, thanks for having me. Yes, it's a pleasure to be here.
No, it's an absolute pleasure having you on. It always is. Anytime you want to come back on, please do.
Thank you.
I'll tell you what, we'll pop back on end of the month. We'll talk about transfer love window
to.
And
love to.
We'll praise how good you were with your Villa prediction. and how good you were with your Chelsea one as well. So thank you so much for popping on.
Thanks for having me.
You too. Well behaved, well done. You haven't argued once. Good start of the year. Very well done. Thank you very much for popping on and having a chat with me. Very much appreciated, as always. Thank you people for listening. My voice is just about held out. I'll go home and cry about it now. Thank you for liking, subscribing, commenting, getting in touch, and making this show a bloody good laugh. And we'll be back next week where we will talk. We'll talk Chelsea. And hopefully not too much of a hiding from the Villa, although my predictions haven't been far off of this year, so there you go. But, fingers crossed. If you go on the Riverside, see you there. If not, enjoy it on the telly. And if you don't want to watch it on the telly, watch it on Rise's YouTube channel. You'll have some sort of stream up. So there you go. Up the Borough. Be seeing you. Arrivederci.
See you later, boys. Cheers.
Up the Borough.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the 12th Man podcast. Hope to see you all again next week. Up the Borough.